This program is a paid commercial announcement from Jacob Media Partners and does not reflect the views of WPHT or its management. Your radio doctor does not recommend or endorse any specific tests, physicians, products, procedures, opinions, or other information that may be mentioned on your radio doctor. Always consult your own physician. Today's program has been pre-recorded.
Overcoming great challenges like COVID-19 requires great cooperation. This is Dan Hilferty, CEO of Independence Blue Cross. Most of us never imagined we'd be facing an outbreak of this magnitude. But in the face of this challenge, hospitals, public officials, and business leaders have come together. Through effective cooperation, these leaders are taking steps to keep us safe. Slowing the rate of infection from the virus will help hospitals care for those who need attention most. Remember, stay home. Leave only for essential needs. Stay informed from sources like the CDC or Department of Health. Take a break from watching the news. Stay well, exercise, and practice self-care to make sure you're physically and mentally fit. In our great region, we have a tradition of caring for each other and cooperating to get things done. We'll do it again now. For more, visit ibx.com/COVID-19. Together, we will beat COVID-19.
Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, WPHT HD, WOGL HD3, Philadelphia, a radio.com station. From the Malamud & Associates Law Studios, it's time for the Delaware Valley's first radio doctor. On call every Sunday morning at 10. This is Your Radio Doctor with Dr. Marianne Ritchie. Presented exclusively by Independence Blue Cross.
Listen, 7 months or 10 months is an absolutely exceptionally short time frame to produce this vaccine.
Your health determines your life, your longevity, and your happiness. Let your radio doctor lead the way with your medical education. Your radio doctor, Dr. Marianne Ritchie.
Good morning and welcome to Your Radio Doctor. I'm your host, Dr. Marianne Ritchie. Tis the season to be jolly. Late November through January, from that big turkey dinner on Thanksgiving to the brunch that opens the new year. With office holiday parties and gatherings with friends in between, that's a lot of eating and drinking. Thanks for tuning in today as we learn some tips about safe eating and drinking during the holidays. We welcome the return of Emily Rubin here for the third time this year. Emily is a registered dietitian and the director of clinical dietetics for Jefferson Gastroenterology and the Jefferson Celiac Center. She's also the chair of public relations for the Philadelphia Academy of Nutrition and Dietetics. Later in the show, we have another surprise guest, so stick around. Welcome, Emily. Happy holidays. So much to discuss today.
Yes, there is. Thank you so much for having me again, and happy holidays to you and your family.
Thank you. So let's start with safe handling of food. The CDC tells us it doesn't appear that COVID is passed by handling or eating food, but we know to limit contact with people outside of our family, wear a mask, wash our hands. But even before COVID, avoid sharing utensils, cups, and glasses, even with your nuclear family, right? I mean, that's kindergarten 101.
I mean, that's definitely correct. That's why they have those pens now that you can write on your cup or on your plate to say, your name on it so people don't share. But you definitely want to wash your cups and wash your plates either in a dishwasher or under hot water for at least 30 to 60 seconds mm-hmm. with antibacterial dish soap.
Mm-hmm. More than
when
ever.
It comes to
mm-hmm. So let's talk turkey. We thaw the refrigerator in a container or a leak-proof bag in the sink, maybe, but never out on the counter. Tell us about that.
So when you want to thaw a turkey, it's best to thaw the turkey in the refrigerator. But if you have a relatively large, either turkey, ham, roast, whatever the meat might be, it might take anywhere from 3 to 5 days in the refrigerator to thaw it. The other option is you can thaw it under cold water for 2 hours or in ice, but it can't be more than that 2 hour time. And you never want to thaw it outside on the counter because it can lead to certain foodborne illnesses and foodborne pathogens, which actually could cause major GI distress and GI symptoms that could possibly bring you to a doctor, urgent care, or even the hospital. You always want to wash your hands for at least 20 seconds, before and after handling the raw meats. When you store the raw meats also in the refrigerator, you want to make sure you don't store it over vegetables and other open containers of food, because sometimes even though you can double bag it, the drippings may still drip into those products, those foods. And again, that can also cause some contamination as well. so that's important to know.
Yeah, that's a good point.
And when preparing it as well, you want to make sure that in terms of whether or not about washing, because, you know, there's been studies that people wanted to wash their chicken, their poultry, their meats in the sink. And they've done multiple studies showing, again, that there's so much salmonella and so much foodborne pathogens in the sink because all those contaminants, again, go into the sink. And even if you scrub down the sink, they still have done, you know, different research studies and measuring the bacteria in the sink showing those high quantities. I mean, I myself, you know, probably with, when it comes to chicken, I've stopped washing chicken. But when you get that big raw turkey, I do wash it. But sometimes I'll actually leave it with like a plastic bag underneath. And so a lot of the water and the juices from the turkey do go into the bag. So I try to be as careful as possible and then clean the sink.
Sure. All those years we thought we were doing the right thing by washing the chicken and turkey, and not anymore. Just cook it well and that will kill the cooties. Well.
Right. If you get up to the 165 degrees, I'd probably even do a little bit further. One of the ways I prepare a turkey, I actually cook it in a turkey bag. So it actually keeps all the juices in there. It makes it very juicy. It prevents a lot of spillage. You know, you get that same taste, and it's a lot easier for cleanup as well. And you can add, you know, seasonings in the bag. You can add the vegetables in the bag, all those different flavors you can put in the bag. And that gives you a really great juicy either turkey. You could do a pot roast, a ham. Which makes, you know, the cooking part a little bit easier, because I know it can be a struggle when everybody's so busy and having multiple pots and pans around and cleaning up. So this is one sort of one compact way of cooking the particular roast or turkey or whatever kind of meat you want to have at the meal.
No, that's a great suggestion. I know we should cook our stuffing in a separate dish, or if you want to put in the turkey, put it in at the beginning, not during. And you want to use a thermometer to check the center of the stuffing, but also to check the deepest part of the thigh or the breast. Make sure it's 165. Don't depend on the pop-up thermometer. Am I right about that?
Yeah, that's correct. Because a lot of times I've noticed that like the pop-up thermometer is not in properly. I always put a double thermometer in, you know, any kind of turkey or ham or, you know, chicken or roast as well, because the pop-up isn't always accurate. So it's definitely good to put a digital thermometer in and, you know, also check it every so often. Sometimes I also turn, you know, rotate it in your oven as well. Mm-hmm. So you know that all the sides get cooked thoroughly as well.
And when you take a roast or chops or even a fresh ham out, you let it sit for at least 3 minutes and it continues to heat. It's really still cooking after being in the oven. How about leftovers, Emily? See, Clostridium perfringens, which is sort of a cousin to Clostridium difficile, the bacteria that could cause diarrhea, that grows on cooked foods left at room temp. We don't want to leave our food out on the buffet for more than 2 hours after it's been out, right? Tell us about that.
Yeah, it's about 2 hours. And what happens is when those particular foods sit out, actually years ago it used to be 4 hours, and I guess they were starting to see more food poisoning and foodborne illness developing in people. So now they've actually decreased it to 2 hours. And the issue is when you get above that 40 degree temperature for more than 2 hours, this is where this bacteria grows and you can become very sick. So it's very important, you know, not to eat those foods more than 2 hours. If it's sitting under the heat, you know, under heated food, under the heated fire, then, yeah, you know, you're at the 165 degrees, you're fine. But if it's just actually sitting out in the buffet style, not heated, anything, you know, it's that 40, over 40 degrees, between 40 and 140, that actually, over a 2 hour period of time, can definitely cause some kind of bacteria.
Mm-hmm. So keep your cold food cold and your warm food warm, and then reheat your leftovers to 165 degrees too. And then the big one here, which I love to remind people, do not eat raw dough or raw batter. Tell us about that.
I know. You know, I mean, in my lifetime, I've probably eaten pounds and pounds of raw cookie dough. It's one of my favorite things. And it's actually become a novelty now where they're selling these little cookie dough bites. But the interesting thing is, even obviously you can't have the raw eggs because that's what's affecting you with the cookie dough. Mm-hmm. But in when you make these cookie dough bites that don't have eggs in them, they actually have flour in them. And you can't eat raw flour either because that also contains bacteria. So you actually have to cook that flour at about 250 degrees for anywhere from like 3 to 5 minutes before you make, you know, a raw cookie dough kind of dessert. It's really important to do that.
Sure. And of course, rule number one, wash your hands before, during, and after preparing food. Like you say, if you're handling a turkey and you have the juices on your hands, and wash your hands before you eat. Just think of the things we touch and then we snack or we eat as we go along. Definitely after using the toilet, the potty, and changing a diaper on a baby, or even helping a sick person, you want to wash your hands. Let's take a little break.
You constantly when we come back. Washing your hands.
Yeah, yeah. Repeatedly. It never hurts to wash your hands again. When we come back, let's talk about eating facts.
Thanks for listening to Your Radio Doctor with Dr. Marianne Ritchie, exclusively presented by Independence Blue Cross. If you have a question for the medical mailbag, just send a note to doctor@yourradiodoctor.net.
We're back with Emily Rubin, registered dietitian from Jefferson. Emily, tell us how we can gauge what our intake can do.
So over the holiday period of time, a lot of people think that you may gain, 3 to 5 pounds of weight. That's what, patients, the public, but it really is only actually about 1 to 2 pounds of weight you may gain during that, between that Halloween and New Year's Day. The issue is the weight doesn't always come off. So therefore, in a 5 to 10 year period, you could see 5, 10, even 20 pounds over 10 years. And that's where it becomes the big issue. So these are things that we want to enjoy the holidays. We want to enjoy the little bit of family that we have because of, the situation of COVID and trying to enjoy this very special and happy time. But we want to do it in somewhat of a moderation. So sometimes things I focus on with my patients or anybody that even asks is, you don't want to diet at this time or you don't want to do any kind of restrictive dieting. You want to enjoy the food, but enjoy it in moderation. And there's lots of different, tips, we can discuss.
Mm-hmm.
And especially that could help that.
Yeah, as you say, especially this year, it's been a sad year. People need that little bit of leniency. But the other safeguard is we're not going to be cooking for large groups of people this year. So we're not going to have the leftovers to tempt us. So an average calorie count for a Thanksgiving dinner could be as high as 3,500 calories, you've told us, with 200 grams of fat at one sitting. And 3,500 calories leads to about 1 pound of weight gain. Is that about right?
That's correct, right? 3,500 calories is equivalent to 1 pound of weight. So if you eat 3,500 calories one day, you won't necessarily gain that pound. It's over, that's that one day that you've eaten a lot of food. But the next day, if you get back on track or eat a little bit less or maybe walk a little bit more, it sort of all balances itself out. So that's why, we focus on portion control. For instance, if you're looking forward to that, your Christmas or your Christmas Eve meal or New Year's meal, you don't want to starve all day without eating. You want to try to have small amounts of healthy food, such as, high fiber, high protein, some snacks. You just don't want to not eat all day and save it for that one meal, because then you will overeat. And then you may, again, have some GI distress, such as reflux, bloating. So you definitely want to try to eat a breakfast, lunch, and, to enjoy your dinner.
Great advice. And you want to save your carbs for dinner. That's the one time you're going to let yourself go, right?
Yeah, I do recommend. One of the big things I've stressed, and I think a lot of people have liked what I've said, was, eat your favorites. Like, for instance, like mashed potatoes, if you eat them all the time, maybe choose some kind of interesting stuffing or some kind of, casserole that you're not used to eating, and then why have bread? Maybe have dessert instead, because it's much more satisfying. You can always have a roll, at any time. So you sort of want to choose your favorites, or you choose your holiday favorites.
Right.
And I think I said once before, when it comes to dessert, there's so many different kinds of cookies and cakes and things. But if you really want that dessert and you want it to taste its best, they say to actually eat that before your meal, because sometimes when you eat it after the meal, it actually doesn't even taste as good, because it's your body naturally telling you that you're full.
That's so clever. Yeah. And you always remind us to eat slowly. It takes 20 minutes to feel full. And that's so true, because that's when you're eating, your sugar levels go up, your insulin jumps in, and insulin makes you feel full, right?
Exactly. So, putting your fork down in between bites, but also talking to people, while you're eating. I mean, the big concern is, I guess, if you're doing some kind of Zoom party, which would be nice, you would take your time. But if you are alone or not with many family members, which I've noticed many patients are just gravitating towards eating because they're bored or they're sad. And then I have multiple patients, a lot of people or people in general love to bake and cook. My last patient, makes tons of cookies and cakes and gives them to people, but also has excess amounts in their house. So then you may wind up with a lot of those leftovers, and you might start picking at them if you haven't been able to give them to enough people. So these are things that you want to be careful with.
Very good point.
Donate extras to food banks and to children in need. I know that's a big issue. I tried to do that myself.
Tell us, Emily, give us a couple examples, if you would, of different holiday foods that people, if they were more aware, might make better choices.
So one thing in terms of the dark meat versus the light meat, in terms of either a turkey or chicken breast, the dark meat's actually a lot higher in fat and calories, and so is the skin. So if you want to choose the lighter meat, that would definitely be a better option. But again, if you want to have the dark meat, maybe just have a little bit less of it. Choosing, again, the mashed potatoes or mashed sweet potatoes is going to be a little bit lower in calorie than the stuffing. The different kinds of casseroles as well, maybe bringing a salad or making some kind of vegetable at a meal. And there's many of substitutions you can do. You could do, use a low-fat sour cream or Greek yogurt. I made these pumpkin muffins I brought into the girls today at work, the staff, to sort of brighten up their day. And I used, low-fat cream cheese and a Greek vanilla yogurt, and they never even knew in these muffins. So there's so many different substitutions that, I have on some of my recipes on the Jefferson blog or Philly Voice, or you can even, search, websites that has many of these different substitutions. You can make cranberry sauce with less sugar. You could either use applesauce. Actually, I used pumpkin today instead of oil in these particular pumpkin muffins because you didn't even need the oil. The pumpkin made them really moist and gave them a really dense consistency. So, and the big thing too you want to watch out for is if you do have guests or family members is allergies, whether it's celiac or you need a gluten-free diet or nuts. You want to watch out for any kind of food allergies, lactose. You don't want to, again, make a food or have an issue with somebody having any kind of GI discomfort or anaphylactic, eating the wrong food. So this is something to consider. And sometimes people even bring their own dish if they have to.
Right. I know. I've always remembered that advice from you. And I tell my patients that have celiac, don't be embarrassed to, if you're invited someplace, to ask the guest, ask the host if you could bring your own little appetizer or maybe an hors d'oeuvre, and you feel like you're contributing and you know what's safe, you know the contents exactly as it was made. And tell us about holiday drinks. I always find that important for people to hear the different calorie counts.
Right. So, a margarita, a strawberry daiquiri, you're looking anywhere from 300 to 400 calories. You can make them lower sugar.
Wow.
I actually bought the lower sugar. Yeah, you can buy the low sugar mixes. They're, anywhere from a half to a third to even a quarter of the calories. And I've made them too, and I've added actually fresh fruit to them. Obviously the alcohol. So with vodka is about 110 calories. Beer, if you have a light beer, that can be anywhere from 90 to 110 calories, where the regular can be up to 230 calories, and a 5 ounce glass of wine is anywhere from 150 to 180 calories.
So the difference between the two beers is it's double. So a regular beer is double the calorie count. And I guess the big killer is eggnog, over almost 350 calories. You really have
it is a lot. They do make, again, lighter versions. It's also a little sugar, but I don't ever want to take away quality of a holiday so we want to have it, but again, having it in moderation. And the big thing with alcohol too, depending on your situation, are you going to be drinking more because you're lonely, or are you going to be drinking less because you're not with people? That's the whole thinking behind it either. And you want to make sure in terms of alcohol, It takes about 1 hour for one alcoholic drink to metabolize, to break down. So drinking 2, 3, 4 drinks, can definitely inhibit, your blood alcohol level. And obviously we want to watch for driving, and maybe you might make some of the wrong food choices even though you're drinking all those calories, it actually can lower your blood sugar and make you feel more hungry. Staying
great
hydrated
reminders.
Is very important.
Yeah.
Drinking
great
a lot
reminders.
Of, a lot of water. Mm-hmm. When you drink too, so you're not dehydrated the next day, not feel good, you don't want to try to prevent any kind of hangover or headache. So that's really important as well.
You're right, because especially beer is a diuretic, so you're going to be losing more fluid, and drinking water in between will help you to drink less alcohol as well. And exercise is important. Tell us about that.
These days, in terms of exercise, it's sort of tough because many things are closed. So, the malls might be not open, but just, taking a walk outside. There's multiple Zoom videos on that you can watch, and free programs on an iPhone to do some exercise kind of classes. You could also just in general, everyone's going to be grocery shopping, so maybe parking at the last spot in the grocery store. Mm-hmm. To walk a little bit further, and then taking the stairs whenever you can. You want to try to get some of those daily activity in that you may be missing just from if you're somebody that now works at home and everything's not at home. We need to get up and we need to get moving, and I've seen that become a big issue, as well as not only maybe not making the food choices healthier food choices, but also sitting all day. I mean, we need to get those 10,000 steps a day. So maybe getting some kind of, you know, tracking it, you know, on your, on an iPhone watch or whatever kind of track you have to try to get, you know, if you can only do 3,000, I mean, any kind of steps is the positive, in a positive direction is what we want to do.
Mm-hmm. And when you're the chef and you're the host, you do have a little control, and you might make a dip that uses fat-free sour cream or Greek yogurt. I love when you suggest that. Or you're going to use fat-free chicken broth. Or as you said earlier, cranberry sauce has less sugar. Tell us about a few of those other ideas.
Yeah, so also with, you can use like skim milk, and then people who want to use like, or lactose intolerant, they can use an almond milk or any kind of plant-based milk for those different recipes. You could use, there's these great yogurt-style salad dressings that can be used as either marinades or even for your salads as well. And again, there's, you know, there's all different kinds of substitutions that you can look up online as well. You know, the American Heart Association has some substitutions that you can look up. I have some, you know, multiple different recipes. I even made like a low-fat cannoli dip using low-fat ricotta cheese and low-fat cream cheese. That's been a big hit. So again, if sometimes my patients don't necessarily want to alter the flavor, so then it's just eating a little bit of the real thing, if mm-hmm. that's what you're looking for. But I really think I've perfected, and they've even improved a lot of the low-fat options these days to give it almost the same flavor as the regular, and, you know, decreasing your calories at the same time, you know, so not tasting that difference. And always trying to add a vegetable where you can. Mm-hmm.
And as you said, applesauce or even pureed fruit instead of oil when you're making cookies or cakes. Sorry. We'll be back in just a minute with Emily Rubin.
Today's edition of Your Radio Doctor with Dr. Marianne Ritchie, presented exclusively by Independence Blue Cross, can be enjoyed on radio.com. Listen to the show at your convenience. Go to radio.com and in the search bar type in Your Radio Doctor. It's health education on demand.
Sleigh bells ring, snow is glistening, so be sure that you're listening to Women to Watch, your radio doc on WPHT, oh yeah, 1210 PHT. Happy holidays from Dr. Marianne Ritchie, ho ho ho. So we continue our discussion, safe eating and safe drinking tips from Emily Rubin. Emily, we talked a little bit about moderating our intake of alcohol, and you made the great suggestion in between alcohol drinks, drink some water. It keeps you hydrated, but it also helps you to drink a little less alcohol. Tell us about some of the low-calorie mixers.
Yeah, so they make a low fat and a lower sugar eggnog. You could also buy low sugar any of the different either margaritas or daiquiris, or you can use your own fresh fruit to make these particular drinks as well. You can choose, you know, the light beer and actually regular beer have a lot of the same alcohol content. They have the lowest alcohol content. They're anywhere from 3 to 5%, where, you know, vodka, you know, could be 15% and 12% for wine. So a lot of people, what I do notice is when they drink beer, they tend to drink a lot more. They may drink 5, 6, you know, a lot more beers, which is almost considered binge drinking, but they're drinking a lot more beers, which increases the calories as opposed to having 2 or 3 glasses of wine.
Mm-hmm. And I always think it's interesting when you remind patients that alcohol doesn't have gluten. Beer does have gluten, but flavored vodkas, it's the flavoring that might have gluten. So we have to remind our celiac patients of that. And if you're the host, another great tip, offer your guests non-alcoholic beverages. Make people comfortable. Not everybody wants to drink, and make life easier. And of course, have a designated driver, right?
Oh, exactly. I mean, that's obviously number one. You know, it's interesting. I think I noticed a couple years ago that my neighbors, all of a sudden I saw these Ubers picking and dropping people off. So they were using, you know, they were using an Uber service just to be safe, which I thought, wow, that's really a good idea. Mm-hmm. You know, so you don't have to worry about having, you know, any kind of driving issues. And definitely offering water, offering, you know, all different kinds of flavored, you know, drinks, flavored water, sparkling waters, you know, they're all good options, and they're all hydrating as well. And that's really important, is to stay hydrated and, you know, mm-hmm. not to stand around the bar or stand around the table eating. You know, again, I think a lot this year is going to be focused maybe on a Zoom kind of party. So, I mean, but those things can still happen as well. Mm-hmm, with the drinking. And again, when people are sad or bored, you know, drinking and eating is just, it's a great outlet. You know, it's it makes people feel good, and it might be in the long run cause long-term consequences.
Right. Mm-hmm. I like your suggestions as gifts that you can give people that think about these safety tips. Tell us about some of your suggestions there.
Yeah, so I mean, there's so many different gadgets that have come out now to make life easier and some healthier food. So one thing is a lot of my patients love olive oil or avocado oil, you know, super healthy, but still pretty calorie dense. An option you can get is instead of, you know, sort of pouring oil on food, you can actually get the oil spritzer and you can put the oil in it, your favorite oil, and spritz it on your vegetables or your salads or your chicken or, you know, whatever you prefer. And that's actually going to save 300 calories, if not more, and still get the same flavor. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're somebody who doesn't necessarily like vegetables, you can get, they have different kinds of blenders, and there's some blenders that blend vegetables where they're so minute that you don't even know that they taste or, you know, you're even eating them when you actually combine them with fruit and maybe some, you know, some dairy, milk, or any kind of protein powder. So they work really good. The indoor grills, you know, if you don't want to be outside when it's cold, and if you live in an apartment complex, sometimes you don't have an outdoor grill. There's so many different indoor grills which give you that, you know, that nice barbecue flavor without getting the actual barbecue, which actually, you know, when you cook foods at too high temperature too long is actually not the healthiest either. So you get the barbecue flavor that's a little bit safer, great taste, and you feel like, you know, you're eating at a barbecue or, you know, with your friends and family. Mm-hmm. And then one of my favorite products is it's the air fryer. There's multiple different air fryers. I probably have one of the first generations, and I also show my patients, you know, my breaded chicken and my breaded mozzarella sticks. They basically, I did something on Channel 6 about 3 years ago where it literally saved 500 to 800 calories because you don't use any oil in it. You just take your breadcrumbs. If you would use gluten-free breadcrumbs, egg, like you normally would do, or regular breadcrumbs, you put your piece of chicken and you use the Pam spray or whatever kind of nonstick spray, and you turn it over, and you have this breaded, crispy taste without the fat and the calories, and it just gives you that taste that you might be missing. Mm-hmm. And, you know, one of my patients said today, oh, is the air fryer safe? Is, you know, is it going to wind up being like, you know, a microwave or something that you might hear something negative about? And I said, absolutely not. It's actually just a convection oven. It's just the reason why it gives you that crisp taste, because it's small. Where if some people have convection ovens, but a big convection oven isn't going to get that crispy taste. One that's, you know, a quarter of the size will. So that's the big benefit of it.
It's trapping the heat on a smaller piece of food, right? It's trapping the heat.
Exactly.
It's embracing
that,
it.
You're getting that taste. And I put vegetables in there. I put, like, beans in there to make them, like, crunchy. Again, I made homemade mozzarella sticks where you get the low-fat string cheese, and you can also bread that. I mean, there's so many different options, and I've served it multiple places. My kids, you know, will eat it up, and, you know, kids can be the fussiest. And if you want to start, you know, getting back healthy even with your family on a healthy diet trend, that's definitely a way to incorporate that in your diet.
No,
I
was just going to say, on those indoor grills, you can see the fat just roll right off. It's fantastic. I love them.
Yeah, they are good. Mm-hmm. Actually, they did a study. It was with, I think, the George Foreman grill, and it didn't save an incredible amount of fat, but it did help a little bit. I mean, if you start with lean meat, like a lean 93% lean burger, or, you know, a ground turkey breast, or a piece of chicken, you're going to get very little fat. Mm-hmm. Anyway, the slow cooker or the Instant Pot, I mean, Instant Pot's like a faster version of a slow cooker, but I've made, like last night I made pulled barbecue chicken. You just put some barbecue, you know, some chicken breast in either Instant Pot or a slow cooker with barbecue sauce. Get you like a low-fat salad dressing, you know, some low-sodium seasoning, and you have this great meal that you could put over, you know, a whole wheat roll, or if you want to put over some whole grain rice. And, it, you know, it'll last you for a few nights, too, because, you know, the big thing, even with COVID in general, I feel like it's we come home and it's like, you know, at breakfast, we're already asking what's for dinner.
I know.
People may not be, you know, ordering in or going out. It just gets just very old very quickly. So definitely new ideas all the time.
Well, it's getting close to January 1, and we know what that means. New Year's resolutions. Okay. Hit us, Emily.
So I was just reading that, up to 70% of people actually have a New Year's resolution. Only 12% of people keep the New Year's resolution.
It through.
And the reason why is, it's too much too quick.
Yes.
It's like you want to do a marathon. It's actually a marathon, but you want to do it in a 5-mile or a 2-mile run, you know, and it mm-hmm. shouldn't be like that way. It needs to be a whole lifestyle change. It can't just be, okay, I'm going to lose 30 pounds by next week. It's not going to work, and it's going to drive you into a vicious cycle because you're not going to meet that goal, and you're going to be undetermined and frustrated and just say, forget this.
And so really, again, the very first marker is 500 calories a day. Find something that you can live without that measures 500 calories, like a can of soda isn't a a can of cola, about 500 calories. Cut out 500 calories a day. That's a pound a week, right?
Mm-hmm. It is exactly 500, right? So if it's probably about two cans of soda, about 24 ounces of soda, or if it's just, you know, having two pieces of wheat bread instead of a bagel, or just cutting out the potato chips or the French fries and, you know, substituting a salad. I always try to make substitutions versus taking away, because
smart.
You don't want anybody that feels deprived. It just doesn't work. And again, you don't want to lose that 5 pounds a week. You only want to lose, you know, half a pound to a pound a week, no more than 1% of your current body weight. So even if you weigh 300 pounds, you want to lose no more than 3 pounds a week, because, again, it could put your body, you know, could actually affect your metabolism, and you could gain the weight right back. You know, we don't want to be doing all the different fad diets like the Atkins or the really high fat diets, you know, low calorie restriction diets, because, again, the minute you bring back the food, you're just going to regain the weight back.
And take advantage promote you, Emily. Take advantage of seeing a dietitian. Insurance now pays for that. We have about 2 minutes left. Let's go through those really big ones that will help people.
Find a partner, like a friend. I mean, everybody's doing something. A friend, your husband, your child, somebody even at work, you know, take a walk at lunch. Do something where if you guys can do it together, it will definitely you know, motivate you. I think it's so much harder than just doing it by yourself. And, you know, the whole thing about, you know, eating breakfast, you know,
Yes. Try
not to skip breakfast. There is another whole thinking that, you know, if you eat your calories within an 8-hour period of time, that does help increase metabolism, as known as intermittent fasting. So if you don't want to eat breakfast, that's fine. But then you have to eat lunch. You don't want to put all your calories later in the day, because you're just not going to see the success, and it's going to drive you to definitely overeat. You know, again, drinking water, a lot of times we're actually thirsty and we think that we're hungry. We're actually eating instead of drinking. Mm-hmm. You know, you can pack lunch as well instead of ordering in, which is going to save. I mean, we are saving a lot of calories, because I don't think the office food that normally is around the office is there. So, you know, which is actually very helpful as well. And, you know, have something that's going to motivate you, whether it's the summer or, you know, you want to do some kind of virtual 5K or, you know, something that you know, maybe you want to get into your favorite pair of jeans, or something that's going to motivate you to want to lose weight. And maybe it's actually something that's like medical. Maybe your cholesterol is high and you don't want to be on medication, or maybe you're diabetic and you don't want to be on medication. I have many patients that say, I want to come off my medication. Well, let's do this. If you lose 5, 10, 20% of your weight, you can probably come off your medication.
Yeah.
So that is really a positive.
Not to lose weight too quickly. As you say, it can make you hungry, but it also, your body thinks it's starving and it starts to store fat, which is dangerous in so many ways, especially toward your liver. If people want to reach you, Emily, they can Google Philly Voice for your articles and recipes. And we've about 15 seconds. How can people stay in touch with Emily?
Yeah, or they can look at the Jefferson, I think, website has a blog. My Instagram is at Emily RD, Emily Rubin RD. My Twitter is at Emily LDN.
Okay.
I have a Facebook, Emily Sher or Emily Rubin RD LDN. As
beautiful.
Well.
Thank you so much, Emily. And I'll put these on our website for our listeners, because this is terrific, valuable information. Happy holidays. Emily, thank you so much.
Thanks, and stay safe.
Your Radio Doctor with Dr. Marianne Ritchie is exclusively presented by Independence Blue Cross. Dr. Marianne will return, but first, a medical message from one of our partners.
And welcome back in our final segment. As I promised earlier in the show, we have a very special guest. Hello, special guest.
Hello. You've reached me at the North Pole, one of the closest, coldest places on Earth.
Oh, my goodness. Hi, Santa. We're so excited. In about less than a week, you'll be coming this way. What time do you think you'll...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. What time do you think you'll be getting to Philadelphia?
Well, unfortunately, at different times, because unlike what you see on television, where I'm moving very slow, I move at the speed of light. So some people expect me Christmas Eve, and then sometimes I swing back for Christmas Day, depending on what the elves feed me back at the North Pole.
Well,
so I know.
You know, that answered one of my other questions. I wonder what time you get your Christmas dinner. So later, by the time you get home, I'm sure you're tired, but those elves are ready for you. And how is my dear, sweet friend, Mrs. Claus?
She is doing well, I'll tell you. She's busy. All the elves are getting excited, and she takes care of about 130 elves.
Oh my
goodness!
Yeah,
they do. Oh, they take care of the reindeers. They work the barns. They build toys. We got a heck of a staff up here, but we have to keep them inside because it's so darn cold.
Well, the
you can take a bucket of water out the back door of our shop, throw it in the air, and it'll freeze before it hits the ground.
Perfect. And the
what do you think of that?
Snow started here this week, so we're ready for you, Santa. Let me ask you this. Have you ever thought of hiring a radio host to start a show at the North Pole? Maybe interview a couple polar bears or some reindeer?
Well, you know, we could do that. The radio show, I mean, I get satellite phone, and that's what you're talking to me here, but we don't have 4G or 5G up at the North Pole yet, so we have satellite. And we'd probably have to, if we had a radio show, we might have to wreck the tower or something. I don't know how that would work out. It's a possibility.
Well,
I haven't thought too much about it.
I'm willing to commute. I mean, you know, I'm there for you, Santa.
Okay, well, that's good. We could work something out.
Well, now, Santa, you remember, I'm a GI doctor, so I have your cookies ready for Christmas Eve. I have regular and gluten-free. You don't have to share, but whatever makes you happy. And I know Rudolph has a little trouble with lactose intolerance, so I have some Jingle Juice ready for him. Are we good with that?
Well, that's good. Mm-hmm. That's good. You know what the reindeer's favorite food is?
What?
A lot of people don't know this. They think it's carrots. It's really apples.
Oh.
They love apples. Yeah.
Is that to keep me away? An apple a day?
That's it. Apple away will keep the doctor away. And I don't mean that to be mean either.
No, we just want to be happy.
Yeah, you bet. We've been very healthy, and nobody's had COVID or anything. We've heard all about it. But Dr. Fauci says that I'm immune, so the elves must be immune too, because none of us have had it yet.
That's what I heard. Now, Santa, you always give the presents to everyone else. What do you want for Christmas?
Well, I'll tell you, this year, one time I was looking for a segue to ride around the shop in, but you know, this year, the only thing I want is for everybody to be healthy and for us to get this COVID thing out of the way and for us to have enough vaccinations for everybody to get in the groove early so we don't lose any more people. That's really what I'd like.
Well, that's a beautiful wish. So typical of you, Santa. You're the most giving person ever on our planet. And Santa, I want to thank you. I know you'll be working hard up till December 24th. And I'm just going to ask you to get a good sleep if you start on your trip, because now that I'm a grandmother, I get a little nervous when I hear that song, Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer. No thanks.
Yeah, well, we have Rudolph out front, and he is really a seasoned guy, and we haven't hit anybody yet.
Aww.
I know the song, but we've so far no casualties. If we had an Asha award, we'd have zero casualties. That's good.
I'm counting on you, Santa. Well, thank you. A wonderful trip around the world on Christmas Eve. Merry Christmas to you and Mrs. Claus and Rudolph and all the reindeer. Thank you so much.
Well, very good. I'd just like to say to all the good people in the Philadelphia area, Merry Christmas and a ho, ho, ho to you all.
Oh, thanks, Santa. God bless. And now for your real champion, Geraldine Ritter. I call this segment A Christmas Miracle. Geraldine Ritter, a wife, a mother, a very accomplished attorney on the global stage of healthcare policy. She attended Duke, has a master's degree in international economics from Johns Hopkins, and a law degree from Stanford. She's held several prestigious positions, Washington law firm, several branches of the government, has even testified before Congress. From 2008 through 2014, Geraldine joined Merck, the international pharmaceutical company, as Senior Vice President for Global Public Policy and Corporate Responsibility, even served as President of the Merck Foundation. She oversaw legal support for several areas and even began a program called Merck for Mothers to help create a world where no woman has to die while giving birth. Our story begins about 5 years ago. After a day of meetings in Washington, D.C., and a lecture in Philadelphia, Geraldine finally settled on the Amtrak train at 9 p.m., headed home to central New Jersey. She sent a text to her husband saying, I'm on my way. Shortly thereafter, she stood up to get her iPad from the luggage rack. The ill-fated train began to shake, and she gripped the overhead rail. The next thing she remembers, she was waking up in intensive care 5 days later. Racing at 106 miles an hour, the train took a sharp turn and crashed at 9:26 p.m. 8 people died, hundreds were injured, some left paralyzed. Her husband Jonathan saw a cell phone alert reporting the crash. He called Geraldine several times, but no reply. He shared the news with their boys, ages 15, 12, and 8. They cried and prayed and searched for news on their computers. Jonathan raced to the crash site, so many injured, and so little information. He went from hospital to hospital in Philadelphia praying that she'd been seriously injured and not lost. After 9 grueling hours, he found Geraldine in critical condition, so bruised he wasn't sure it was she until he spotted her watch among personal belongings. Countless injuries led to over 20 surgeries, weeks in intensive care, months of daily rehabilitation. Initially, she had a ruptured spleen, perforated bowel, both lungs collapsed. That was just internally. She also broke both arms, every rib, her pelvis split in half with one side being shattered. Any of these issues could have cost Geraldine her life. And did I mention the injuries to her vertebrae at C7, L2, L3, and L4? Friends, this woman was the epitome of independence, a busy executive traveling alone to Botswana, Ethiopia, India, now completely dependent on strangers in a hospital. She was on a ventilator, so she couldn't talk, she couldn't move. The pain, excruciating, especially when they rolled her on her side to bathe her and clean her wounds. What kept her going? Continued silent prayer, listening to a song called, Lord, I Need You, and giving her struggle over to God. 7 months later, Geraldine spoke to the congregation in her family's church. It was 2 days after Christmas, and her message was called, Gratitude, Grief, and Grace. She was grateful that God allowed her to survive and get through the pain. By some miracle, she had no major head injury. Could have been much worse. She was grateful that her family never left her side. She was grateful to the doctors who showed compassion to her and her family, and overwhelmed by the support of her company and her Merck colleagues, some whom she had never met, along with friends throughout life and her congregation. Though uplifted by the support, she also experienced grief. Months of extreme fatigue, constant pain, worry about losing her job, and she had to face the reality that recovery was going to take a long time. These two emotions gave her a deeper appreciation of God's grace, which helped her make sense of the accident. She's grateful without feeling like she deserved to live while others died. She thanks God for the gift of new life and her family for making his love and his gifts very real. 2 years later, by a miracle, Geraldine was back at Merck. Her next chapter? She'll be the acting head of their brand new women's health company. Even when she concentrates on work, persistent aches and pain will never let her forget her life-changing experience. Her new focus? Faith, family, and friends. Finding new joy in the people around her and sharing her story with others in pain. Isn't that the message of Christmas? We celebrate the birth of our Savior, new life, new beginnings. It's the season of miracles, the season of light. Geraldine smiles as she says, I hope I can be the light. We salute you, Geraldine Ritter, your real champion. Thank you for listening today and for supporting our show all year. Listen to all our shows and our Real Champion segments on yourradiodoctor.net. Happy Hanukkah, Merry Christmas, and Happy Holidays to all. We can't celebrate with our extended families as we usually do, but let's hope we can all be together at some time soon in the new year. Try to reach out to someone who's had COVID or has suffered the loss of a loved one or a job. Tune in every week when more great guests will bring you the information you need to stay healthy. And always remember that your health is your wealth.
Thanks for listening to Your Radio Doctor, Dr. Marianne Ritchie, a Jacob Media production. If you're interested in learning more about the power of the radio hour, contact Joe Kraus at 267-261-3428. This program is a paid commercial announcement and in no way represents the views of WPHT or its management. Today's program has been pre-recorded.